Hello and welcome to Agile at Lundbeck. We've all heard about Agile, but what exactly is it? On Agile at Lundbeck, we ask various stakeholders to give their take on your questions about Agile, so you understand it, form and inform your own opinions, and maybe even implement it when it makes sense. I'm Anna Solberg, and this is Agile at Lundbeck. I'm very excited to welcome our guest today, Jacob Padwan. Jacob is the product owner of the Padwan team, and those of you working at Lundbeck most probably have seen some recent intranet articles about the team and their rather impressive achievements in Lundbeck. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Anna.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And you have been with Lundbeck for how many years now? Because Agile and what you're doing right now is not your first role within Lundbeck, right?
I started the same day as Deborah, so 1st of September 2018. Prior to that, I was 4 years in another company, and prior to that, I was many years in Lundbeck.
And you also mentioned that Lundbeck is a part of your family history, is that right?
Yes, my way into Lundbeck was actually, my father is a school teacher, and one of his students, who has continued to keep in contact,
who's then working at Lundbeck.
And that student actually helped my father to get a master's thesis in chemistry. I was then looking myself for a master's thesis project, and I talked with this guy, and he said, yeah, come to my area and we will see what we can find. I've heard about Lundbeck long before I actually also joined Lundbeck.
That's very interesting. So why the project is called Padwan? Many people assume it's because of your surname.
The Padwan is actually coming from Star Wars. And when you are Padwan, you are learning to become a Jedi, the big master. So the whole idea is that we have a learning project. You also have to fail because otherwise you're not pushing your boundaries. So that's actually the reason why we called it the Padwan project.
Can you tell a few words about how the project began? Because I understand it happened quite naturally. And out of that, this stable project was born. So talk us through it.
So the team has two objectives, and that is increase the yield of the processes and reduce scrap.
So it started actually a couple of years ago where we had some issues in production and we had some data. All our production data has actually been electronic since 2009. We are trying to get this data out of SAP, and we have spent a lot of money trying to get it out, and it didn't fulfill what we actually wanted to do.
So normally we would take 14 days of Excel sheets out of SAP and join them together and twist them around to make a model.
And then I was talking with a consultant, and then this junior consultant comes up who has been sitting at his desk listening, and can say, can I borrow the data and may I spend some money on playing around? I say, yeah, go ahead. And 3 hours later, he comes up and say, I've solved your problem. I can now show you, and we can get the whole organization of your data exactly how you want it. We actually got a prediction up and running in production where we can predict a particle size that will then help us eliminate this problem. We call that Prod Intel. So it's a platform you've made where we give the insight to production about various issues. I didn't have to go to management and say, oh, can we spend 10,000 crowns on this consultant? We had the possibility to do it and then not spending a million on it, but you know, a little bit and then see where it goes. And that talks into the agile mindset also, doing some small incrementals, seeing, okay, does it work? Okay, it didn't work. Okay, what do we do then? And then doing a new planning, a new sprint. Say, okay, did that work? How should we go from here? So that's the mindset. And I think it has been fairly easy for the team to take up that mindset.
This sounds absolutely fantastic, Jacob. And you're right, this ability to solve tasks very quickly and not asking for permission every time when you need to do something. This, of course, is very much the agile mindset and agile ways of working. And what you're also describing, isn't it called a stable self-organizing or self-managing teams? Is that correct?
Yes, and I've actually also been surprised with, you know, that different team members actually take the responsibility on them for the whole team to succeed. There's people volunteer also for maybe not so fun tasks, you can say. We are all a team and everybody is responsible for the whole team delivery.
Did you actually feel that people had to shift their mindset when they started working in the stable agile team?
So my view on the mindset, we should have this, I call it responsible playful. So we need to play around, and there are several reasons for that. And we will need to fail because otherwise we're not, you know, learning anything new. Also referring back to the Padwan concept, because that's how we learn. And I will actually link to a podcast. It's in Danish, but a future spørgsmål to professor about playing. And they have actually done an experiment where kids are given some toy and the the parents show them, this is how it works. You push this button and then the toy does something. And then the kids will just, you know, do the same thing over again with that toy. But if the parents just give them some toy and they need to explore it themselves, then suddenly they found the 10 other buttons that they can play around with. And I see it a little bit the same way. We are actually set free by management. We have a very strict objective and outcome of what we do. But, you know, how we do it, they totally leave it up to us to get some value out of it. To me, we need to play around to try out something new and different, because that's how we do something that solves our problem.
So can you tell a little bit about this stable team and how it operates?
Yes. So it's me from line of business, from PDS. And then we have 4 or 5 people from corporate IT. And then it's my task as a product owner to ensure that we are working on the correct stuff to get the most value out of PDS data. So this year we have shifted from only being focused on tablet area and the production to actually focus on whole PDS. And then there's a process of finding cases.
So what would be your role as the product owner in the team, and how is it different from the role that you would normally assume in the company?
The product owner is responsible for the product we do. And then my role is to talk with all the stakeholders. So, you know, all the senior vice presidents, and try to have them come up with ideas where there's actually a problem that could be solved with data. So it's also my task to, you know, evaluate the cases they come up with and ensure that we are fixing a problem that we really have. And then the next thing is to prioritize all these different things we get in, so we get everybody happy, but also at the end, it's a business that we're running, so we get the most out of what we put in. And then we say, okay, we want to fix more problems, but they should always be monetized. So what I've been measuring on is money.
I'm wondering, when you talk to these outside stakeholders that you want to bring on board and build some awareness about how the team is operating, what do you talk about first? Is it doing agile or is it being agile?
It's actually about the outcome, solving a problem. Agile is a tool in my toolbox, but what I'm looking at is it's the outcome. And that has been a lot of discussions with my managers. And the reason why we got some money is we are very crisp on this is what we want to do. And then we put all our power behind that. And I think that's the difference. We approach everyone with a very specific, we need this data for this and this. It means this and this to the production or whoever it is. So it's extremely specific. Then, of course, you can always broaden it out.
So what's the experience by now? If you could summarize, what was harder maybe than you expected, and what was easier with starting this project in the agile way?
I think actually getting the team up and running and the whole team dynamics. I'm very surprised, and maybe it was me being biased somehow, but I thought data people, they might have difficulties talking about their feelings, or, you know, I do something and they don't like it, they will not tell me. But actually it has proven totally opposite. So we were doing this planning, for example, on Teams because of Corona, and I'm talking, and then this guy writes me on Teams and say, why are you not mentioning me? Should I do something else? Or, you know, why is it you're doing that? And I'm calling him up right away and saying, no, it's just because I'm a little confused running all this on Teams. But it's very quickly you can, you know, close it down and say there's nothing here because they're so open. And we do retrospective, and we talk about last week when you said like that, it made me feel like this and this. And I'm very surprised with that.
Some of the more difficult things are when you run agile and we run in sprints. So we're like, we're ready now, and we have 5 people sitting waiting for this data. But the organization, of course, not running agile. And to me, the most challenging part is actually, you know, this talking with upper management, you can say, and helping them understand this outcome thinking that we have been running with in production for a couple of years. And then keeping management out of deciding how we do it, just saying what they want and what outcome they want to get, but they don't interfere with anything. And then being that translator from management to the team and vice versa, it's fun. It can also be a challenge.
So if you could pretend that every senior manager and VP and SVP in Lundbeck is listening to this podcast right now, then what would be something that you would like to tell them when leading their agile team, so when working with your agile team?
Focus on the business outcome and telling what they want to achieve and why they want to achieve it, and then let it up to the team to decide, and then somehow lose control about the solution and how the solution is done. Of course, coaching, and then I call it remove impediments. But, you know, you can run into different problems. Then maybe it's a management to talk with some other management that, you know, the team shouldn't go into, because it's also something about accepting a risk, for example. that is up to management. And then I will relate back to this podcast, listen to it, try to take it in. If you tell people how to solve the problem, they will never leave that track because you're the manager and you have told them how to solve it. But if you just say, please solve this problem, then it's a totally different solution you will get. And maybe it's better.
And then, of course, the situations like that, they come with accepting the risk of failure and embracing that teams and people can make mistakes along the way and that it's okay. And there are two sayings, actually, that I like about it, and I hope you're going to like them as well, is making mistakes is better than faking perfection. I thought this is really brilliant, and this is so much about agile mindset. And another one is only the ones that do nothing avoid making mistakes. And then as a result, of course, we are tempted to try to strive for that perfection at work and to avoid any possibility of any failure. And that's, of course, the famous sunk cost fallacy that can be dangerous and expensive when one may continue just doing something just because a large investment of time and effort and money has already happened. Anyway, that's me reflecting on it because, as you can hear, it's one of my favorite topics, and we can, of course, chat about that offline.
We can do it here because that's also led to this refinement thing we do, and that's something we implemented, you know, due to this failure, you can say. We needed a specific data source, and we thought we had talked with those who owned the data, and then we put it in the sprint, and we plan normally three sprints after each other in what we call an iteration. And then we said, okay, let's be bold, let's invite Lars Bang down to a review. That could be awesome. And then we had to stand there 6 weeks after and tell him, yeah, we didn't make it because we thought we had the data, those giving us the data didn't agree with us. And then it all, you know, fell apart. But it was nobody's fault. If it was somebody's fault, it was our fault. When we see a case where we need new data sources, then we do a lot of things around the sprints to ensure we get the data before we even start putting it into a sprint.
What do you think people need to know or keep in mind before joining the stable team?
I think it's about being very honest and not saying, this is what I do. It's changing into a team and a team effort. And I think that could be a change for someone. Also putting yourself there where you don't know if you're like a specialist in something, and then suddenly you have to work with something outside of your comfort zone, allowing yourself to be able to fail. I talk a lot about failing, but you know, we are failing. Maybe we do some articles that look nice, but we could also do articles about how we failed in front of executive vice president. But that's just how it is. And, you know, accept it or do something else. That's, yeah, how I see it.
Thank you so much, Jacob. It was fun talking to you. And you're definitely very welcome to come back. It was really great. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And I would love to come back.